This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the SEC and the Big Ten have kind of dominated because of the expansion and the money that they have. The landscape of college sports, look at football, now look at basketball, both men's and women's. Half the 32 teams that are left are from the SEC and the Big Ten. And one of the Big Ten teams kicks it off today. And just about an hour from now, Purdue will take on McNeese State, one of the upset teams. And the McNeese State Cowboys in, and maybe they can knock off Purdue. That'd be kind of fun, at least make it fun, because otherwise it's pretty chalky so far in this tournament. We turn to our college basketball expert, insider, Deshaun Tate, who joins us on the WayForward.com hotline. Give us some insights on what we've seen and what we can expect. Hey, Tate, what's up?
Far from an expert, John Fricke. I can tell you that right now, especially judging from my bracket. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you for joining your space with me.
Well, no, I was bragging at the beginning of the show, Deshaun. We do a family bracket. We call it a braggot, B-R-A-G-E-T,
okay.
Braggot.
Oh, braggot. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, braggot,
okay.
Right? Because there's no money, but we can brag. I've never won it, okay? I'm in first place because I picked McNeese, I picked Colorado State, and I picked New Mexico. And I went, yeah, okay. Hey, how about that?
Man, I'll tell you something about how about that. How about the last team that you just mentioned, the New Mexico Lobos, the job that they've been able to do over there, Richard Pitino. And I think they've got the best, you know, if they don't have the best playing guard in the country, I think Donovan Dent has certainly made himself, right to be within that conversation, especially the way that they handled going up against, you know, someone else who's in that conversation, Cam Jones from Marquette. So, obviously, he's got his work cut out for him at Michigan State up next. But I anticipate some really good games on today. You're not the only one that had the only upset. I really kind of feel like that we've seen, unless you're counting Drake with their upset over Missouri, which I'm not really sure how big of an upset that is. But I will say enough to say that, Purdue's a really good team, obviously. But there's no question, John. They are a different team without Zach Edey. Braden Smith, yet another conversation to being the best playing guard in the country, for sure within the Big Ten and being the player of the year. But McNeese is rolling really high right now. The thing that concerns me is down the stretch in that last game against Clemson, after being up so big, maybe one or two more minutes left played in that game, and we could be talking about Clemson actually still being in this tournament.
Talking with Deshaun Tate, we're going to get into today and tomorrow in a minute. I want to go back and kind of recap first couple of days of this tournament. We start with 68 teams, down 36 are already gone home, down to 32 here. Fairly chalky, but then we sort of expected it. Some fans said, you know, with 14 teams, which is astonishing in the tournament for the SEC, that, hey, listen, the SEC is going to dominate the tournament. And right now, the SEC and the Big Ten both have eight teams in half the field as SEC and Big Ten, but there are also six Big 12 teams, so let's not forget that. But it was to be expected, Deshaun, that some of the SEC teams would struggle. You mentioned Drake over Missouri. Texas is out. Georgia did not play well. Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, all six of those are gone. And so some fans are going on X going, no, the SEC shouldn't have 14 teams in. Look, nobody's going to remember, you know, who gets knocked out in the first weekend or even in the Sweet 16. Deshaun, they can barely remember who won the national title last year. Really, all that matters is when we get down to the Final Four, you know, in San Antonio, what's going to happen? I mean, are there going to be three SEC teams, or is there only going to be one or none?
That makes for a very good point. You're talking about not being able to remember. Let me tell you something that I do remember. And this is why I'm, you know, you can't automatically say just because someone has the best conference in the country that that means that they're going to be successful in the tournament. I think it was the year that Luka Garza won National Player of the Year. You remember this, Freaky? I know you're a Big Ten guy. The Big Ten was the best conference in the country, no question, and everybody was talking about that. I don't think you'd be really far-fetched to be able to find somebody that would disagree with that. However, I think after the first weekend, the only team that was left in it, after getting about, what, 10, close to 10 teams in or something like that, Michigan was the only remaining team. And the Big Ten heard about that forever. And here we are with only half the SEC remaining, and I think that the Big Ten is undefeated in this NCAA tournament currently. So I will say, though, too, is that, you know, how many will be existing? I don't know. There's a possibility we might not have any teams representing the SEC in the Final Four. If there is a team, probably the best chance, I think, would probably be Florida. I think that they're the most equipped, in my opinion. They're playing the best brand of basketball of not only anyone in the SEC, but over the course of, you know, what are we now, 21, 22 days into March now? They haven't even lost a game in the month of March yet. So you need guard play as well. When you got Elijah Hughes and Richard there, and, you know, you got to have those experienced guards, and they've got that, maybe even perhaps the best in the country even. So, you know, and they look the part. I mean, they're the number one seed. They probably should be looking that way right about now. So everybody's still got work left to do, of course. But if there's anybody, I would probably say that Florida would probably be that strongest team that I would imagine would be standing there in San Antonio out of the SEC.
Our college basketball expert Deshaun Tate, he's at Tate's Take Hoops, Tate's Take Hoops on the X. And so, Deshaun, I grew up in an era where Tobacco Road was, you know, the central focus of college basketball. The ACC was the thing. Now we have 32 teams remaining. There are two Mountain West Conference teams that are left, Colorado State and New Mexico. There are two West Coast Conference teams remaining, you know, in terms of St. Mary's and Gonzaga. And we mentioned McNeese, so there's a Southland Conference team. That's right. There are as many Southland Conference teams remaining as there are teams from the ACC. Duke, I mean, it's a good one, but Deshaun, Duke is the only team in the ACC in the round of 32?
No, that doesn't really surprise me all that much. I mean, you look at how bipolar North Carolina had been playing over the course of the last few weeks. They, you know, lose to Clemson, they win six in a row. They lose to Duke, they win a couple games. They lose to Duke again, and then they win a big game. Now they lose again, and, you know, in a fashion that wasn't even close to Ole Miss. And granted, you know, Chris Beard's gonna, I knew he was gonna have those guys prepared and ready. I don't know who had more pressure on them at that point, per se, but you know, and by the way, I'll make sure I mention this to you, though, Sean. I don't think the Texas is gonna throw the bag at Chris Beard again, do you? I don't know, but he's doing such a fine job. I can't imagine that happening. But you know, kind of getting back to it, I mean, Louisville had a tough draw with Creighton. I mean, Auburn's gonna have their hands really, really full with Creighton today, the way they played in comparison to the way that Auburn played in the first round against Alabama State. And then you're looking at Duke being the last team standing, which is probably not really a big surprise considering the fact that they only got the four teams in, to be honest with you.
Again, we're going to spend a little bit more time with Deshaun here after the break and kind of look at today's schedule and tomorrow's schedule. But back to the opening kind of salvo here. There was, you know, some question coming in about certain teams and how they would fare in this tournament. One of those was St. John's. You know, are they for real? Do they just, well, I think they've answered some question here about whether or not they're for real. And I think that also goes to, you know, some of the powerhouses and whether or not they were kind of like, you know, kind of limping along here. But we saw, I think, how good a coach Mark Few is in putting, you know, Gonzaga right back into the thick of things, despite the fact that this is probably, I don't know, in some ways his least talented roster of quite some time. I mean, it's got talent, don't get me wrong. It's got veteran talent, but it's not loaded like Gonzaga has been in the past. To St. John's, the job that Rick Pitino has done, you mentioned Richard Pitino, how about both of them, right?
Right,
there's
correct.
Family yakking going on there between father and
story
son.
Storyline.
Yeah, right? Rick Pitino has done here to get the Johnnies into this position where, you know, what did you see from them in the opening game? You said, yeah, this team, because I watched them, I went, yeah, okay, I hadn't seen them much. I said, Deshaun, I said, yeah, those guys are real.
Well, they're going to play hard-nosed defense. They're going to play Pitino ball. You look at some of all the places that Pitino had been, you know, they're obviously going to be tough-nosed defense, and they're going to be extremely disciplined as well. So, I mean, I anticipated that they would look good, especially with that, you know, first draw that they had. But, you know, when you factor in, they maybe don't necessarily have a star player. If there's one, it would be R.J. Lewis. But, you know, a guy like Kadari Richmond, who it was a transfer from Syracuse, has been playing a really fine brand of basketball for himself. And listen, I mean, St. John's wouldn't surprise me based off of how well they've played all year. There's not a lot of teams that's remaining in this tournament that have won both the regular season and, championship and the conference tournament. But it wouldn't surprise me the least bit to see this team, you know, not only advance in this game, on today, but even more so to be able to advance potentially even to the Final Four and give Rick Pitino another one. So I know they still got some work cut out. I mean, Arkansas has been one of those teams where, you know, the expectations were really high coming into the season. They obviously didn't have a really good season, lost one of their better players due to an injury. McDonald's All-American and one of the best in the country named Boogie Flan. They're able to get him back. Arkansas is playing their best brand of basketball probably right now, and I don't necessarily love this matchup per se for St. John's, rather, just because of the confidence that Arkansas has coming in. However, as we always talk about, this time of the year is really about the experience. That's something that Arkansas doesn't have. However, a box that St. John's can check.
I'm going to lean on Deshaun here in just a moment. We'll take a break and come back here in just a moment and talk about today and tomorrow. If you're going to be doing, you know, one of the things, Deshaun, that we would do at CNN, when I worked at CNN, it wasn't really true at Fox or at Sports Channel or some of the other places I were, or even 90 Time the Game. When we worked at CNN Sports, we bet on everything. I mean, Deshaun, we bet on everything, gambled inside CNN. So we would do a bracket challenge, right? And it was $20 to put a bracket into, and you could put as many as you wanted if you wanted to put spit $20 for it, right? But we get all the news people in, and I mean, there would be, I don't know, 150, 200 brackets, you know, I mean, first prize was always like $1,500 or something. But then I hit on an idea, because I was always out, to redo it. And I started doing, after the first week, after today and tomorrow, I would do a sweet 16, redo, it's like, you know, rebuy. And so we would do a sweet 16 bracket and sell it again and do a new one, because we were out. So I was like, okay, everybody wanted to do it. And so we would get a lot of play on that one too. So countdown to the sweet 16. Again, today, all the games, if you're following the tournament, our sister station, 1380 News at Talk WAOK, for the NCAA tournament, because we have Atlanta United at 1:30 and the Hawks at 6:30 at State Farm Arena against the Warriors. All right, so we got to set this up, and the whole point of this today is to go over the round of 32 and all the Sweet 16 dreams. He's talked about a couple of games, so we may kind of broadly skip over those. Let's begin, Deshaun, with today's schedule of 8 games. The night portion, the second half, the last 4 games, seriously quality basketball on paper, but doesn't mean that the kind of early portion isn't pretty good too here. McNeese and Purdue start in about 50 minutes from now. Is there I don't know. Purdue was in the national title game last year, as you mentioned, but I don't know what to make of them this year. I mean, Lawyer can, you know, certainly, you know, they've got a couple of guards that can light it up a little bit. Matt Painter's a hell of a coach, but I'm not sure what their ceiling really is in this tournament for the Boilermakers.
No, I agree with you, John. I mean, listen, Purdue obviously looking like a totally different team than, you know, ones that, you know, we had seen on last year. And, you know, I think Lawyer is an X factor for this team. He's a guy that is going to have to bring some contribution and production a little bit more than he recently has to help out with Braden Smith, because they do have those guards. But outside of those guards, you know, they have Trey Kaufman-Wynn, who's been a really big, you know, huge success, not only for this team, but, you know, very well in the Big Ten so far this year. This is a little bit of a concerning game for me going up against this McNeese team. Also, as we know, prior to last year, Purdue's kind of vulnerable to losing to some pretty high seeds themselves. You know, over the course of the last few years, they've kind of developed that reputation for them just a little bit. So I don't necessarily love this game for them. McNeese is rolling right now and extremely confident, have a lot of reasons to, and that athleticism, I think, will bother Purdue. And this is the one upset of the day or of the tournament that we've been able to see so far. This, I think they would probably add the only other quote-unquote upset, unless you're counting like a Colorado State over Memphis or something like that. But just another matchup where we're talking about a 12 potentially advancing to the Sweet 16.
All right, I'm going to skip over Arkansas-St. John's for the moment. That's the 240 game. I'll get back to it in a second. There's a reason. I want to skip to the 515 game, which is Michigan and Texas A&M. Both of these teams, they're tough-out teams, I think it's fair to say. But again, when we talk ceiling, both of them are flawed in a lot of ways. And so I'm not really sure what to make. The winner here, I think, has a chance to make some more noise, though the winner here may have to face Auburn, too. So, but I don't know what to make of the Wolverines or the Aggies.
And that's if Auburn even gets there. I'll tell you this much. I think it's primarily going to be based on whatever team shows up. Both of them sometimes kind of, you know, we talked about some teams before being kind of bipolar and so forth. Sometimes we see that on these teams. Now, if Michigan's able to keep it close, one thing they've shown all year is that they can win close basketball games, and they do have the advantage in the front court against the Texas A&M team that is one of the better rebounding and physical teams in the country. However, between the FAU transfer and Golden and the Yale transfer with Wolf, they've got two guys sitting up there that's pretty close to 7 feet outside. They don't really have a whole lot of that. Trey Donaldson has played a lot better over the course of the last month or so. I think they're going to need the X Factor and Amari Burnett to kind of step up for them. I like A&M in this one, but I think it should be a really, really close game between two teams that I think are Sweet 16 worthy type of teams coming into this tournament. Unfortunately, only one of them can win, but I'll take A&M on this one.
So we already talked about Arkansas St. John's, reclamations on both, you know, proud, you know, teams that have been to Final Fours and national title games, and obviously in both cases, and now reclaiming kind of that past glory. And I'm taking that game and I'm going to tie it to the 6-10 game, which is Drake and Texas Tech. And the reason I'm going to tie it is that the winners of those two games are going to meet. So when you look at this here in this kind of half of the West bracket with Drake, Texas Tech, Arkansas, and St. John's, somebody's going to come out of this. It's not only just about right now, today, it's also about Monday, because somebody's going to be in the Sweet 16 out of these four that's going to be, you know, a team that actually had an easier road to get there, and yet is peaking at the same time. And is Drake a team that just shoots it well enough that they could surprise a lot of people and suddenly wind up in the Sweet 16?
Drake is. You know, it's a phenomenal job that they've been able to do after DeVries, their head coach from last year, when they went on a little run and, you know, obviously left and took the job over at West Virginia, now going to take a job somewhere else. But, you know, in a, you know, first-year head coach over there now, they've obviously done a good job, and they've got the guard play. I mean, they've got almost four guys that average double digits, and I expect for them to give Texas Tech a good run for their money. I am going to take Texas Tech on this one, although I don't think it's like clear as day, like a shoe-in by any stretch of the imagination. JT Toppin has really been really good for Texas Tech. And, you know, they still kind of got that same old Texas Tech type of mentality and identity to themselves with really hard-nosed defense and definitely hitting the glass really hard. And they're not, you know, really the most attractive team to watch with the eye, from an eye test standpoint, but they get the job done. They win basketball games. That's something I expect for them to do and move on to meet up with Rick Pitino's St. John's Red Storm next weekend.
All right, nighttime, really good games. Creighton-Auburn, 7-10. I think that Greg McDermott's gotten a lot out of this Creighton team, you know, considering, I mean, Kalkbrenner's obviously really, really good. But Broome and Auburn, I still think when they're at the top of their game, I know you could talk about Florida and Duke and everybody else, when they're at the top of their game, Sears and Alabama, Auburn is as good as anybody in the country and the job that Bruce Pearl's done here. But this is a really, Pearl against McDermott, you know, I mean, Kalkbrenner against Broome, this has got the earmarks of being a darn good game.
No, and I think it will. Arguably one of the best that we're going to probably see on today. And like you mentioned, the Broome against Kalkbrenner, you know, matchup scenario. And if there's a number one seed that is going to lose early in this tournament, it's going to be Auburn. We talked about when they look good, you know, they look good and doesn't look like anybody can stop them. The problem is they haven't really looked good over the course of the past, you know, week and a half, almost 2 weeks, dating all the way back to that game when they played Alabama and ended up losing at home. So I take Auburn to win this game. I think it'll be much closer than what people anticipate or will think it will be. I think it'll sit at like 8.5. Now, granted, don't come knocking on my door and at me and tweet me on the X and all that type of stuff if they don't. But I think it's as close of a sure bet to a number one seed losing out on, if not nothing else, you know, the 8.5, I think that, you know, that Creighton is getting. Auburn minus 8.5, I just feel like this would be way too close of a game to call. And of course, I could be wrong, but the way that, again, I mentioned in the last segment, the way that Auburn played against Alabama State, particularly in that first half, they can't afford that against Creighton, and especially the way that Creighton went ahead and took care of business, too. I like Creighton to cover and Auburn to slightly move on.
BYU, Wisconsin, two teams that weren't on a lot of people's radars, but the Big 12 and the Big 10 have both been very good here. BYU a little underrated. Is Wisconsin a little underrated? Are both a little underrated?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Wisconsin is pretty much right there. Just Wisconsin doing Wisconsin things. They've been the same Wisconsin for pretty much ever, I feel like, right? They're going to play hard-nosed defense, and they've got quite a bit more offense than we're used to seeing out of a Wisconsin team. Sometimes they'll kind of put you to bed and lull you to sleep sometimes. That's not this Wisconsin team when you got somebody like Tanji who, you know, can score the basketball. He's a transfer and obviously fits into that system for what Greg Gard likes to do really well, but could potentially turn into a contrast of styles, because exactly where Wisconsin loves their style of defense, you're not really going to be the one to get them to play a different brand of basketball. They win the way that they like to play and they lose the way that they like to play. However, with BYU, one of the more, you know, better offensively efficient teams that we have here. And I'll give you a name to keep your eyes and ears open for on this game, a guy who I anticipate will probably be a lottery pick in June's draft. So when his name is called, people are going to say, BYU, I don't remember this guy in the NCAA tournament. How come I missed it? This is your free space on the bingo card. And forgive me if I butcher the name. Igor Demin, D-E-M-I-N. He's an international freshman from Moscow, Russia. He's a pretty good prospect. Don't look at, you know, more so the you know, the numbers in terms of what he's been averaging and so forth. This kid can play some really good basketball. Hasn't played his best brand on the collegiate level, but the scouts definitely love him, and there will be a lot at this particular game. I actually like BYU's chances to move on. And don't forget, they got the number one player in the country coming out of high school coming in next year, so they're setting it up for him pretty good.
8:40 tonight, Gonzaga and Houston, two old school, longtime powerhouse programs. Houston goes back to the 1960s, for crying out loud, with the program they have. And two of the head coaches that are in the discussion for best head coach, currently coaching, who has never won a national title, in Mark Few and Kelvin Sampson. really intriguing matchup between Gonzaga and Houston at 8:40.
I think with those when I was talking about number one seeds between Auburn meeting up with Creighton and Houston meeting up with Gonzaga, this is a game that's almost like an Elite Eight type of game itself. We're getting a chance to check it in the second round. I think that for both of those number one seeds, this should make for more interesting games in this particular round than it would with whoever they meet up with in the Sweet 16. I have Houston as my national championship winner. I think they're just a little bit too physical and just a little bit too much up front. They're a little bit on the undersized, but everybody plays, much bigger than what they actually are. Gonzaga is a really sneaky team. We never really hear a lot about Gonzaga all year long. They lost to St. Mary's quite a few times this year, and we're used to them running through their conference. That didn't happen on this year. And we're talking about best point guards in the country, whether that, had been the guy from Purdue, or whether that was Donovan Dent, or whether that was Cam Jones from Marquette. The one name we hadn't mentioned is Ryan Nimhard, who's, a very efficient player, a very efficient
Well, of course athlete. He is. He's been at Gonzaga for 10 years.
that he has. Well, his brother was over at Gonzaga, now at the Indiana Pacers now. So, I think that the experience and toughness is going to be a little bit too much for Gonzaga to handle, but it's a really, really scary game. And I know some people say, well, you're just saying that. No, this is a really scary game for Houston. If Houston was to lose along the way before they get to the Final Four or before they get to a chance to stand on the ladder in San Antonio with the scissors in hand, it would be on today's game against Gonzaga. Mark my words. No pressure on Gonzaga game. Like we're usually seeing.
All right, final game tonight, 9:40 our time. Mick Cronin's got a lot out of UCLA. UCLA's a good team. Mick Cronin seems to have managed to coax a little bit more out of them, especially as the season's gone along. Tennessee's an intriguing team to me. I got to tell you, this is one of those teams that, everybody talks about Auburn and Alabama and Florida, and they're sort of sleeping a little bit on the Vols. If they win this game tonight, I suddenly look at Tennessee and people go, oh, wait, here comes Tennessee.
John, I don't know what the over-under is on this game, but if it's anything more than probably 17, I'm going with the under. Of course, I'm being a little bit facetious on that one, but UCLA is very, very good defensively. Not one of the better UCLA teams per se, but I think that it says something about how good that they have been. I think what a top four seed, I believe, coming out of the Big Ten, and everybody knows how good the Big Ten was this year, but they're definitely defensive-minded, and I don't have to explain to you about Rick Barnes when it comes to defense and the way he likes to play. And listen, I mean, I'm typically a guy just being really transparent that always reminds people how hard it is to trust Rick Barnes around this time of the year. So I can see UCLA winning this game, but I don't think it'll happen. I like Tennessee to go ahead and move on, especially because of the offense that somebody like a Jordan Ganey and a Chaz Lanier can put in place up against a fairly favorable matchup against UCLA. It should be interesting.
Yeah, Tennessee fans may be rooting for Gonzaga to win. I mean, suddenly, if they may clear the deck. No Houston, that could put them in the Final Four potentially. As always, Deshaun, where can the fans find you?
At Tates Take Hoops, TATESTAKEHOOPS. I appreciate you for having me, John. Thank you much. I'm sure you'll be watching the games as much as I am. And looking forward to seeing what the rest of that shakes out for March. We've already had, just one of our upsets. We haven't had any buzzer beaters or anything. See who the Cinderella is going to be. Maybe that's McNeese. I don't know. But I think some more interesting and fun action is still left ahead for us. Thanks for having me.